Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain, ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high, loud as the Lord see.
right, y'all, he say. All right, y'all. All right, y'all. Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it loud. Say it loud, say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. 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 Woo, James Brown, y'all. You know, it's something the way he said, all right, y'all. You know, something in our spirit and our soul. You know, all right, y'all. You know, and they called it soul music because most of the music came out of the church. But it said, all right, y'all. I love it. And the camel walk and all that. That's kind of historical. I see these children out here doing some dances sometime, and they don't know that they really out dancers, and they name them something else. But how y'all doing this morning? Woo, winter's coming, y'all. I think it's supposed to be warm today. Halloween is going to be cold, and it's going to start. It's supposed to, it's gonna drop down, baby. Now, you know I worry about the winter because I got a big house. And my gas bill, I think I got one more month in my payment plan, and I guess I got to start all over again because my gas bill be high. And they have really hiking up the gas bill. Everything is high. The gas for your house, the lights, the gas for your car, everything, your food. I don't know how y'all making it. I done reverted back to how my grandmama used to make it and how she cooked. You know, because when I was growing up, I don't remember being hungry. People in the kids in South would be hungry because our grandma's not to cook peas and beans and all that stuff. So, but I've always cooked it. But you don't have to always have meat, beans, hey, that's food. Beans are protein. Get you some cornbread. If you don't know how to cook cornbread, I guess you got to buy it or buy that Jiffy Mix. I'm a from scratch person. You know, you cook that and you do that and get children used to that. I've always, when I raise my children, I always raise them, we always have 1 or 2 days meatless. So they kind of used to it, and I taught them how to cook and preserve. So this is a good time, especially those of us who are seasoned, if you got young folks in your house, to really teach them how to cook so they want to be going through no change. I was in the store the other day, and I saw a young lady in there, and I looked at her cart, and I said, that food is going to be gone in a day or something. She's going to be hungry, and all of whatever substance she'd get would be gone. You know, and somebody would tell her to cook some oatmeal. So the children get used to it because oatmeal is so good for you. Cream of wheat, malted meal, grits, rice, beans. And if they don't know how to make macaroni and cheese, you can buy it now. And it'll stretch macaroni and cheese and teach them how to just cook and get a lot of canned and frozen vegetables. You know, some of that, them greens and stuff, they ain't got to cut them by them. But just to cook them. So, but they had pizza. It was just piled up with junk. And I don't think it's because they don't care for their children. They don't know how. And I'm not sure anybody taught them how to really cook. Because you really can take $30 and feed your family for a few days if you know what you're doing with cabbage and all that other stuff. But I just thought about that when I came out. And it was so cold. You know, it's 40 degrees out there. I had to put on a jacket. And I said, okay. All right, now. I better head over to Depot to get me some plastic. To let my grandson put him up before it get too cold. I was going to change my windows up, but I know y'all won't hear all that, but I got to do it later. So anyway, it's coming. The hawk is coming, y'all. I think it sent the little bitty babies out this morning to get a feel for what's going on. We don't talk about the hawk no more, but it's coming. Now, let's get down to business. Okay, I want to tell y'all, I'm going to have a special guest this morning. And he's coming in studio, in fact, and I'm so happy. Dr. James Hill. He's a black surgeon at Northwestern, orthopedic surgeon, but he's also a teacher. And not only is he a teacher, he just does so many things. And I felt it was so important because, you know, I always said those who reap the benefits never come back and give back and to help. And, you know, he's really just well-rounded, and you know what I love about this man is that, you know, his bow was just too big to look at. I mean, and they cut it off with 50 pages just to give it to me to look at, and that's just half of it. But all the things that he have done and is doing, and even like being a doctor with no borders, but also dealing with Ethiopia and a lot of other African countries dealt with, but how he deal with our community. One day I paged Dr. Hill, and he called me, and I said, where are you? Because I was trying to book him for get him for Dorothy, and I did get him. And he told me, He was somewhere, I think out there by Burke School with some children, you know, making a garden, trying to talk to them and teach them. Well, he's really, and I thought it was just so important to bring him to talk about some of the things, because when you go to the hospital or when you go to any care now, you don't care. It's very seldom that our own people are there to care for you. And not that, I mean, when you're ill, you don't say, what are you, what's your ethnicity? But it's the fact that we took pride in trying to make sure that our children became all these things. And I've told you over and over again that we used to be the steward of this country. I know y'all don't want to, something has happened. And I know about the enslavement. I mean, you know, I've done extensive stuff on that. Christians and God we trust. And we would, most of the time, like when you go to the clerk of the circuit court, you would see black folks. Most of your middle income black folks came from working either from the government, being steward or being, or just whatever it took to keep this country going, we were working. And if you take a moment, I was out with young lady, I said, a friend of mine, and we were out shopping, getting ready for our sneaker ball that we got at Air Washington. Our church is having a sneaker ball, which is a whole other discussion that I talked to y'all about. But so we were out, and I was just telling them, look around. I think when you went to Ross, we just went by. I want to show the difference to see. There was a lot of black folks. And there were, as we went around different places, you just don't see us. I told her, as we were riding around, you don't see us even walking out that much. We back there, but it's not a lot of us. And some is unnatural about a people. I don't know what happened to a people who helped build a country that's so unique that people are dying to get here. And as they get here, most of the things that you did, they got you thinking that you can't do nothing. You know, you can't be a bailout. What's wrong with that? I mean, the maids and stuff in the hotels now make more money than some of the folks, other folks. You can't dig holes. You can't do this. The country was maintained. You saw our people maintaining. When we had our own hospitals and those nurses and stuff, it was something. But even with being in the main hospital, when a black child would go to nursing school, have you noticed when you go get your blood pressure or something taken, when you're in the doctor at the hospital, who's taking your blood pressure? Just, it's so many jobs out there in terms of how do you, you know, just doing x-rays. It ain't just x-rays for your chest. Folks look at your eyes. They take all different kind of MRIs, all kind of stuff. And that will always be here. And the funny thing about it is that, sad thing about it, it's not funny, is that the city college is awful. All of that is your tax dollars are paying for. You go to Malcolm X and you don't see black folks in that, and those programs. And we can be gearing our children toward those things. A lot of our junior colleges offer different programs. And you know, it's amazing what Governor State offers. You know, it's a lot of stuff, and they have increased it. And we're not really a part of it. And when they have this program where they take the children to go into the college, I think it was Rahm Emanuel, one of them started, where the children go, while they're in high school, go into the colleges and they learn, be learning. So, well, our children don't do that. They don't gear our children toward that. And the question is why? I mean, how you going to be a doctor like Dr. Hill or somebody else? Or how do you want to be an engineer? Or how do you want to even deal with the artisan trades? Yeah, and I'm going to bring someone on to talk about the artisan trades so y'all can understand what those things are. You can't read and you can't write. I think that somebody, I sued the Board of Ed in the city of Chicago before, and they asked me to do it again. Because I don't, my children, my son and my daughter refused to put their children in the Chicago public school system. And they all came out of it. Most of them could read and comprehend very well. You know, I have the daughter that's named after me. I got two named after me, but there's one. She get her doctorate. Dorothy get her doctorate. And she'll be 18 in March. But she's she get hooded this summer. I got another Dorothy Dudley who was at, she's at Columbia. She's doing really well. She's a sleeper. But her father said there's no way he's going to go to public school. And then the other boys went to Hell's Franciscan after coming out of Beza. So it's because they could see. And so there's a effort to just teach our children about sex and victimhood. And if you feel like you're a victim, you know, it's like women who've been abused, as long as they are victims, they don't do anything until one day they kill somebody, get them up off their back. And but when you're a victim, you don't think of victorious, being victorious. Because we were never, we were taught that we were just as good as anybody. Our parents, I know my brother, listen, hold your head up. Don't you hold your head down. You better never leave, see nobody seeing you hold your head down. And when you talk to a person, look them in the eye and know who you are. You're just as good as anybody else. And that was, that's why I love the song by Jane Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud, and the stuff that he says. We had all those reinforcements back during that time because we were told that, and so we knew we could do anything. When I look at Dr. Hill and know that he came from a public school, this man, his major was biology. That means that he had to get a science, some kind of science. I know when I was a little girl, I had to dissect a frog. I had a whole science lab that I had to go to at Booker T. Washington, those black teachers and stuff who was teaching us. But, you know, we had a science lab. You might have called it secondary, but made some of the some of my classmates came out and was doctors and different things. We had a science lab, a math lab. Well, math became fun, and it was not something hard. It became fun. Teachers found a way to, you know, get you to know it. But if you're running from math, you can't even write because they don't deal with penmanship for our children anymore. There's such a low standard they have put on our children. And that's why each week here I teach and I preach and I holler and I scream to you. And I think the board need to be sued for what they have. They have, it's a shame why they talking about victimization and supremacy and all that stuff. It's a shame what they've done to the minds of our children. And they walk in there bright eyes and bushy tails and they want to learn. And by the time they get through, they learn how to do sex. They learn how to do this and do that. And then they say, but you know, you're just pitiful. You can't make it. You're this. You're that. And kids just, you know, and somebody, oh, it's the parents. Oh, no, it's not. I'm not saying we don't play a role. I don't know one parent who does not want their child to be better than them. And they'll take them into school not knowing, thinking the school is teaching them. A lot of them don't even know what the kids are learning because of how they're hiding it. And a few years ago, they took parents out of the schools because what parent neutralized after we had sued them and all that, they made a way of getting us out of the schools. And they got these local school councils. They don't have no power. And you know that the school is going to be controlled. That's Dr. Hill. There's Dr. Hill. Have him have a seat. I'll get him. Sit him down and sit. Okay. I mean, that's he's for that. I'm going to bring him on earlier than I thought. See? I'll probably bring him on after the break. I'm glad to hear. But you know, Brianna. okay. threw me off. My doctor came here kind of early. I'm glad because we're going to bring him on early too. But it's just kind of sad when you look at this. And I think that we need to, the parents need to sue because we pay high taxes. And our children are not learning. They don't know nothing. We have less doctors, less everything. So when we look at what's going on here, it's a disgrace. Our parents want their children to learn. And that's a fact. There's no way that they don't want their children to learn. And when they kick their parents out of school, because you put more money into the CTU than you do into the students. And they fight. Nobody's fighting for the children. At least the parent equalizer tried to equalize. We tried to equalize the scale of education. We fought for that. And then you got all of these people coming in this country. And we're going to really get on it next week because I want to get into this education that they're giving them, they're getting top education and tutors. And you tell me, a lot of your money now is going to go into that? Your money going into teaching them. Y'all don't want to hear this. I know. Your money going into teaching them. Your money going into all these different languages and all. You can do it, telling them they can do it, but telling our children they're stupid. You know, get high. You're weak. You're this. You're that. Nobody's looking out for the black child. And I charge the black churches, the black sororities. We have the template, the black fraternity, the Masons, the Eastern stuff, all the stuff we have in our community. I charge them with neglect of our children's minds, because they can jump on the bandwagon when somebody tell them to say something. And I've heard some of them talking about the right to this and the right to that, and nobody's talking about the right to that child to have a right to learn. And I have never, ever, ever seen a parent did not want their child to make it. So, you know, oh, by the way, I heard that yesterday. Well, I won't talk about that. I'll leave that alone because that's rumor. But anyway, did you notice that in the 35th, did you notice that in the ward over there, Brighton Park, and y'all better take that and y'all better listen to it. They didn't want the immigrants, the illegal immigrants, they're not migrants, the illegal immigrants over there. It's a mess over there. They said they're safe. Well, they all know better than us, huh? So they're fighting. But in the meantime, they have our children and our people not knowing what, they're not knowing what, they got our children. They got our people not knowing what to fight for, what to look for. But when I look at, I'm telling y'all, but look at these lots and look at Julia Park District. Y'all better pay close attention. And when you look at something like 51st, 49th and Lake Park over there, maybe 50th and Lake Park where folks just go and eat, they turned that totally. And you know, I'm really upset about this stuff. Maybe some of y'all not, but how do you take my tax dollars and you decide that you want to make sure that all these folks have a right? They're illegals now, but they have a right and we don't. They are not only are they straining our education system, our health system, and all of this, but your child don't have a right to education. And what gets me when I hear these black folks jumping at some folks, man, oh, yeah, we got to do this. But that's because of post-traumatic slavery syndrome. That's also because we have empathy, because we are Christians, because we are who we are. And that's why we have we can reach and pull each other. But right now we're in trouble. And don't let nobody tell you we're not. Now, Martinez is up for re-election, but ain't nobody running against her. You used to go down to that clerk of the circuit court, black folks running, bailiff, this, everybody running everywhere. And you don't really understand what you're giving up, because some have happened. And education and economics is very, very important. But when you see the 35th Ward, all of them fighting, some of them don't come here because it's not going to be legal. It's dangerous and all that. Y'all better take that. And it's not just no. Y'all think it's all just the Spanish. We got 100-some communities out there. But what I found was very interesting. Your NGO, non-government officials. A lot of folks making a lot of money off of this stuff. And it was a big article in the paper yesterday about it, which I'm gonna deal with next week. But all that money, it's about money, y'all. Somebody making money off, and they get all this money. You don't have blacks with NGO, but now you found a black endorsing this mess, it's because they're going to be running after that money. And money cannot be it. It got to be God of our weary years, our silent tears, and all of that. So we're going to talk about a lot of that. I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take a few of your calls before I get started. Since Dr. Hill is here earlier, I might bring him in here a little earlier so we can take a few calls before I take my other. But I'm going to take a break. We're going to work this out. But this is I'm giving you these few minutes. When I come back, I'm giving y'all 15 minutes to venture yourself, and then I'm going to have Dr. Hill on so he can talk and then maybe take questions. But we are in a crisis mode here, y'all. People who don't take care of their children and don't take care of their young, something is wrong. Children is our future. And we got to do. I got to take a break. Talk of Chicago, 69 WVON. I'm number 773-591-69. We're streaming live. www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. You can reach us on Blog Talk if you miss us. This is Dorothy Wright Tillman, host of Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me right here in Chicago, Denver, Great VON. Get your coffee. Get your tea. I'm going out to see my guest for a minute because not only he on the board of Northwest, he's also my doctor. Get your coffee, get your tea, and come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
I'm MC Light for Hip Hop Heritage, celebrating 50 years of hip hop, authentically powered by Cadillac. Wow. Reflecting on my life in hip-hop, first off, as one of the early female MCs, I knew I had to be twice as nice as the male rappers out. Flow, style, voice, conviction. Lyrically, I had to double down on everything I delivered if I was going to get my respect. And I'm from Brooklyn, so you best believe I was going to take it. Hip-hop is everything. It's not just music. It's culture. It's fashion. It's the way you move. It's swag. It's hip-hop heritage brought to you by Cadillac.
For more on how Cadillac is celebrating hip-hop's 50th, visit Cadillac.com/audacity.
Hey, WVON family. Some of you know me as Mark Pullins. Some of you know me as Tony, and others know me as that guy from Roseland Matters. But you all know me as Loretta's the Aloe Lady's son. The Aloe Shop is back and better than ever with our premium aloe juice. 16 years ago, I had a stroke and was totally paralyzed on my left side. My mom brought me a case of her premium aloe juice, and through the grace of God, a mother's love, and the Aloe Shop's premium juice, I have no visible signs of ever having a stroke. No other aloe juice compares to the juice at the Aloe Shop. I drink it every day, and you should, too. Please come visit us at 117 East 95th Street or call 1-866-256-3747 or visit The Aloe Shop, thealoeshoppe.com. The bitter truth is the bitter juice.
Hi there, Chicagoans. As we know, life can throw us curveballs, heat waves, COVID-19, snowstorms, and power outages. So we must be prepared. Visit chicago.gov/prepare and take these steps. Complete an emergency contact card, build your emergency kit, and take immediate actions for the medically vulnerable today. Visit chicago.gov/prepare. Let's prepare together. It's a matter of public health.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweat, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Maria Pappas with Black Houses Matter.
WVON listeners, we have saved African Americans $212,239,634, helping them understand these overpayments, and we're still sitting on $79 million worth, and exemptions, we're still sitting on $38 million worth. So come on in.
Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas with Black Houses Matter, Monday mornings at 11:30 a.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Von TV's Thursday night of premieres wraps up November 2nd with a throwback must-see film, still a brother inside the black middle class. This controversial, critically acclaimed documentary examines the Negro middle class of 1968 and how they dealt with indoctrinating into high society while facing the challenges of being black during the civil rights era.
I'd like to have a yacht to wear since from Brothers. All Americans, and I am an American, we think this way. There's no other way to think. I can't think African. I don't think of myself as being a Negro. Never until recently have I really been concerned that I am a Negro. I thought all the while that I was an American.
See how the black elite lived, worked, and played in 1968 and their mentality on being black and different while the masses of black America were fighting for black and equal. It's a powerful expose on classism that continues to divide the black community today. Don't miss Von TV's premiere of Still a Brother Inside the Black Middle Class, produced by the late William Greaves. Catch it Thursday, November 2nd at 7 p.m. Von TV is available on Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV Plus, on WVON's app, or any mobile device at von.tv. That's VON.tv. Thank you for making WVON's Black Heritage Film Series the most watched series ever on Von TV. Powered by McDonald's.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Happening to me, y'all. The greatest love of all is happening. Love is it. God is love. Love is it. It's about our children. It's about our future. I told y'all. We got to do something here. If we don't do nothing else, we got to do something, right? It's our children. It's our future. It's education and economics is what it's all about. And I told you, I've been so busy talking about Dr. Hill all morning that I'm just so happy and so proud. But I'm going to bring him on in a minute. But we're back, y'all. Talk of Chicago, 69, our number 773-591-69. We're streaming live, www.vn.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook. We are on group Facebook, on Blog Talk. If you miss us, Dorothy Wright, Tim McCoffey, in the conversation with me, right here at the great WVON. I'm going to take this one call because some of the stuff I've been talking about, and we're going to expound on this stuff next week. I know y'all sitting back waiting to jump in because I'm going to push stuff around a little bit. I'm just going to take this one call, then I'm going to go to Dr. Hill, and I'll get y'all later. And I think he's going to take calls. We're going to take calls with him when we come back. Maybe I'll tell you what minute when we're going to take calls after we've talked to him. But we would talk about all this. We've got to talk about not migration, illegal immigration. We will talk about that next week. And I just want y'all to keep y'all eyes out for those tents. Don't let nobody be building those tents, taking your land and all the other stuff. And I want to know where are the black lawyers and all those other folks that need to file a lawsuit against the Board of Education for destroying the minds of our black children. Okay, I'm going to take Jay, and then I'm going to get into Dr. Hill because I want to at least get started with him before. I used to get my guests at the 7 o'clock hour, but I was so excited about him, I brought him in a little earlier. Okay, good morning, Jay. Hello, Jay. Is Jay gone? He probably gone to sleep because he don't think I'm going to take a call this early. He done missed out. Going, okay, he's gone. Jay, I took calls before I used to take calls. Okay, we're back. I'm going to go right into Dr. Hill before my break. And he's going to kind of do a prelude to what's going on. You're going to get a taste. He's going to have 15 minutes to just kind of talk to you. Not going to take calls with them in 15 minutes. I think Jay might be calling back. He's going to wait forever. I take calls before I go on my break, but I'm changing stuff around. They just sit back and listen to it. But anyway, so I'm going to introduce you to Dr. Hill, and we're going to let him, I'm just switching things around a little bit, and we're going to kind of get a prelude to him I know she probably won't. She going to hold on for Dr. Hill, or she want me to take her now? Okay. But anyway, so I'm kind of switching things around where I know y'all getting ready to come. I'm not going to be taking no calls these first 15 minutes. I want y'all to listen up. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk some more. And then at some point, I'll tell y'all when to call in. Okay? Okay. All right. So, so I can go. Doctor, I'm very, she going to wait? Okay, good. Okay. We have Dr. Hill. Dr. Hill, I've read so much stuff about you. I told your assistant, because I had a small bio on you, but I wanted to know everything it was to know about you. I tell you so much, Dr. Hill. By the way, y'all, you know, when I tell you I was walking around with my, when I got my scope and all, y'all know how good I walk. That's because of Dr. Hill. He's one of the best ones. Dr. Hill, as I was reading, all the committees you're sitting on, all the stuff you have to do. I mean, I know one, I'm walking so good. When I looked at all the stuff, and, you know, Dr. Hill was educated at Lane Tech High School. And that's what I thought was very important that y'all to know. And by the way, Brianna, he's from the West Side. Look at her. Okay. That young student. But I looked at all the things that you've done. And, you know, Dr. Hill, I talk often. My program, I try to have my program just a little different from gossip. I try to have it really so people can have something to hold on to. But when I just all the stuff that you do. Now, are you on the board of Northwestern?
I have been.
Uh huh. And also teach.
Yes.
I remember one day you started teaching them how to come out that box. Okay. And all the things that you have done, what you've done in Ethiopia. And you also on the Tagadega. You in Tagadega? You work with Tagadega?
Yeah, I was on the board there for 25 years.
Uh huh. So I'm not gonna just go. I can talk about you after you go, because I want these people. I do want to see the CD. I got so much stuff I want to do. It's just driving me crazy. You know how I talk. Dr. Hill make me his last patient when I come in, because he knows how to get through me. He's gonna have to talk for an hour. But anyway, all the things you've done, all the doors you've opened. And one thing I see, and I tell these people, that you bring your resources back to the community. And I told them earlier about how you was out there at with Bert planting flowers, how you came to Dorothy Jean, but how you work in Ethiopia and all the places you work. You really have worked around the world, really. Are you part of a Doctors Without Borders?
I have worked
with Doctors Without Borders. But I noticed how you was on the board of most of our Olympics, all the stuff. I can just go through a lot of stuff, but I want to focus in now on our children and our people, because I think what the school system is doing to our children is just terrible. And I noticed that you majored in biology. This black man loved black biology. And within this, I want to find out what made you interested in biology. It had to be something to make you a teacher or somebody. And we have schools now. They don't have science lab, math lab. A lot of them stopped their music. Just a lot of stuff. And our children are told they're dumbing down our children and their victims. And we were just not raised like that. And so I just want to talk about, I'm going to leave this as a, this is your classroom, but it's talking to our people, and it's your classroom, and I'm going to let you talk, and I will dip in, and I'll go if I want to, and then don't call in. That you can stay on. Nobody will call in because we have to take a break in 15 minutes, and we're going to take that break, and then we're going to come back and finish some more, and then we're going to probably take calls the last 15 minutes. Okay, Dr. Hill, this is your classroom. I just want to talk to you about, because I mean, you don't see that many black doctors at Northwestern. None of these hospitals are nurses or none of this stuff. And I was saying earlier how you got a lot of programs in the City College that help LPN, RPN, just a lot of stuff. So I'm going to leave it to you. You got it, Dr. Hill.
All right. I guess if I had to say.
Is this mic on? Is mic on? Okay, go on, Dr. Hill.
If I had to say that one message, my message would be is I think especially African Americans is we let the mirror define us and we don't define ourselves.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is we end up letting the dominant society tell us who we should be, who we are, and who we will be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we accept that without challenging it, and we just fall into that trap that they – that we live up to their expectations. So first thing I would say is that everybody really should define themselves and not be dependent upon society to define you. The second thing is that God has given everybody a gift, and all of us have limitless potential.
Wow.
And don't dummy down to take the easy way out when God has already given you all these gifts, and all you have to do is harvest them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And lastly, is that everybody ought to follow their passion. And if you follow your passion, number one, you'll have a joyful life. Two, is that you'll never work a day in your life. It's not about the money. It's about passion, love, and happiness.
Yeah, yeah. Because when you do something with passion, there's another way. I'm a business person once. I remember once I asked Donald Trump. They said, "Well, what do you?" He was talking to us. What do you think is success? He said, "Everybody, if you got a passion, you just work your butt off." Teachers tell me, "You got passion. You work your you work and you feel and you're helping. You're passion. I like that passion in God." You said that. I like that. And that's one thing I like about Dr. Hill, that he do believe in God. I also noticed that you had been with Providence when it was open. You was part of the board. You did much. Tell me about the Providence piece.
Well, I was born in Providence.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a Providence baby.
Uh-huh.
I was born in Providence. And so Providence actually was the first integrated hospital in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
And it was founded by Daniel Hale Williams.
Right.
Who was actually the first graduate of Northwestern's medical school.
Oh, my God.
In 1891. He was the first graduate in 1891 from Northwestern, and he started Providence Hospital.
He's a black man that started Providence.
Correct.
It didn't have no limit, it's believed it. And here you are born there, and now you're at Northwestern. I mean, that's really something. So I try to tell my people in my audience, and especially I have a lot of young folks listen to me. Across the country, really, I got one man make all his students listen to me. But I tell them that we had God, and we had God that we believed in, but we also believed there was nothing we couldn't do. I'm trying to understand why they got our children thinking they're victims. You said one thing that, hey, don't let nobody define you. You're not a victim. You can do. But how do you want to be a doctor? How do you want to do something or be if you're told that you're here? That the school system have really dumbed our children. In Baltimore, no children are reading at grade level. In Chicago, it's only 11% that's doing reading or math, and those are really not our children. So how do you have a child to follow his passion if they dumb it down when they're in school? Well, I don't understand that. So you want to dumb it down. Somebody told you can do anything you wanted to do.
Right. And my parents, who didn't graduate from high school.
Right.
They told me, as I mentioned, all of us are limitless. And you plant that seed early, as I mentioned earlier, about not letting society define you or limit you.
Mm-hmm. But you also came from a community.
Yeah, I had a lot of community support. You mentioned that I graduated from Lame Tech. I actually started at Marshall. Both my parents were from Mississippi, and I tested out that I could go to Lame Tech. At that point in time in Chicago, there were only two basically magnet schools. One was Tilden, south of Madison, and north of Madison was Lame Tech. I started at Marshall. I tested well. I got an opportunity to go. Both my parents, like I said, were from Mississippi, and they did not want me to go because at that point in time, it was 5,000 boys and 5 blacks.
Yeah.
I was one of 5 blacks.
And I understand.
And so they didn't want me to go. And I basically said I wanted a better education. I could see that would give me a better future. Like at my point, I went to a boys' club in my neighborhood. It was called Midwest, which is now called Martin Luther King Boys Club on Sacramento and Washington.
So was that with Sanders? Oh, what's his name? Had a boys' club on the West Side.
Yes.
He ended up being a commentator on TV.
Yes.
Warner Sanders.
Yes.
I know about him. See, Warner Sanders used to be a gangbanger. He started that boys' club, and he was very active. He brought all of those folks in there.
Yeah.
So, you know. So what, and see the good that he did, that we don't have those things in our community anymore. But you went to not many. We don't have many.
We don't have many. But there are some diamonds in the rough, so I won't say it.
I didn't say we don't have no diamonds. I said it's that boys' club that you went to,
right,
that you was able to go to. When we look around our communities, not as many. We got to figure out what to do, and we got to look at our resources. Yeah, I know it's something. You wanted those diamonds. So you went to Lane Tech out of Marsha, and I tell you a story off air about Marsha. I went to Marsha High School, too, when I came here. They put me in Marsha, and I was in there to organize, and they found out that I was with Dr. King. I live 3309 West Monroe in the Freedom House, and they found out that I was with Dr. King mobilizing the students to go march, and they put me out, and they wanted to see my parents. Well, about Dr. King and all them being my guardians. So Andy came up. And they said, well, I guess I'm my daddy, Andy Young. And they threw my butt out, but I got a lot of those students organized, mobilized to go to the march. Because my job was mobilized young folks to deal with those gangbangers and everything else, the young ones to bring them. But that's really funny, Marsha High School, over there on Monroe, and kids. Uh-huh. So what made you want to be a doctor?
Once again, I had an affinity for STEM or science, and God directed me where I didn't know I even wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that I was going to get a PhD, and I was on full scholarship at Northwestern as an undergraduate.
Uh-huh.
And lo and behold, on the first draft lottery, and I think it was in 67, my birthday was number one. So I went from a student department to getting a letter to go down on Canal Street for a physical. And I was, at that time, the only way you could get out of service was basically go to Canada Seminary School or Seminary School. And I wasn't going to do either one of that. So I basically, the dean found out about it. And one day I was an undergrad, and the next day I was in medical school. I actually never applied to medical school.
You see, that's that passionate of God. And I did notice that you had been in the service.
Right.
And you was in the service, and I noticed all the work you did at Cook County. But I noticed you had been in the service, and our people now don't go in services or either be officers. You know, there's a lot of things they've just kind of pushed them away, and I'm just trying to figure out how and what to do. You did? How much time you spent in the service?
I spent about 5. Now, I mentioned not going in for Vietnam, but actually, because of some things I developed, the military came to me and asked me would I go into a individual reserve unit, because in order to operate on soldiers, you had to be in the military.
Let me do this. I got to take a break, I think. I got 3 minutes. Go on. Yeah, hold on to your dream on your way out. You don't know. Okay? All right. Go on.
Well, anyway.
He gave me 3 more minutes. I'm looking at my clock. I thought I had to go.
Anyway, I had to be in the military in order to operate on soldiers. And they wanted me to go up to West Point, and I went down to Fort Hood. I went to several military bases because of this procedure I developed.
And I'm going to talk about that procedure when we come back. Because that's important. This is a young man. How old are you, about 19 then?
Well, I was in my mid-20s.
Mid-20s. I mean, see, you're an example. This is what we need. We don't need all this other mess. That's why I can't stand. You are the one that a child needs to see. Paris, Mississippi, a young black man come out of the West Side and what you believed in. You are the one. I know we've had you to come talk to Dorothy's group, but that's a whole other thing that we'll talk about later. But you're the one, and that's what I try to find, Dr. Hill. I try to find people like that, you know?
I think I'm like what God told Isaiah. He said, you're not my only prophet. I have thousands. You just
I love it. I really do. We're going to go. We got Talk of Chicago 69 at VON. Our number is 773-591-69. We're streaming live, www.von.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook group, Facebook on Block. I'll give you Mr. Dorothy right here. I'm going to call for you in a conversation with me right here at the great WVON with Dr. Hill, one of the greatest black men that I know, who I love and respect, one of the greatest doctors. I tell you, I trust him with my life, and I have. So as we take out, this is what we're talking about. He's talking about the passion and the dreams. We got to tell our children to hold on to their dreams, hold on to their passion, believe in love. And you notice he put God in front. Born in Providence and end up in Northwest. Just so much stuff. Y'all just don't know. And this is what we got to do. Get your coffee. Get your tea. Come on back and talk to me in a few minutes as you hold on to your dream. Let's go out for 30 seconds. Hold on to your dream. Y'all hold on to your dream.
Very cold. It favors not the young or old. Life is hard and so unfair. Unless you believe that someone cares, someone who's there, rain or shine, sharing your dreams, your heart and your mind. Go on to your dream, believe in love, let love be the light to show the way.
I'm Mimi Brown.
And I'm Kevin Brown. On your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
And I'm Mike Stevens. The man suspected in a mass shooting in Maine has now been found dead. Officials say they found the body of 40-year-old Robert Card after a several-day search. Investigators say the suspect, who allegedly killed 18 people and injured 13 others in Lewiston, Maine, died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. More details on the search and his death are expected.
Newly elected House Speaker Mike Johnson is promising to hit the ground running and work with both Democrats and Republicans.
The challenge before us is great, but the time for action is now, and I will not let you down.
But he's already catching some flack about comments he made in 2020 about his sons after the death of George Floyd. John has a white son and an adopted black son. In an interview now coming to light, Johnson said his white biological son has had an easier time than his adopted black son simply because of skin color. Johnson then called out for systemic change and transformative solutions and said that he was outraged over Floyd's murder at the hands of a white police officer, Derek Chauvin. Mediate.com is reporting the new revelation has conservatives, especially the MAGA crowd, up in arms, saying Johnson has issued a full-fledged endorsement of the less racial narrative.
In Jackson, Mississippi, the mayor is blaming a communications failure for a botched investigation that kept a black woman from learning that her missing son had been killed by a police car and buried in a state-run cemetery. Mayor Chokwe Antoine Lumumba, who is black, made the comments in his annual State of the City speech. He admitted mistakes and promised changes, but also said there were no indications of police misconduct or malicious intent against the victim, Dexter Wade, or his family.
And speaking of the Wade family, civil rights attorney Benjamin Crump has been retained to represent them. Records show 37-year-old Dexter Wade died on March 5th, but his family did not learn about his passing until 7 months later on August 24th.
A federal judge has ruled Georgia's legislative and congressional voting maps violate the Voting Rights Act of 1965 and has set a deadline of December 8th for state lawmakers to draw new ones. Governor Brian Kemp has called a special legislative session to begin on November 29th. The ruling was issued last week by U.S. District Court Judge Steve Jones, who's black. He's also ordered lawmakers to draw two new black majority districts in the state Senate and five new black majority districts in the state House.
And according to a new survey by Goldman Sachs, black women in America continue to disproportionately face economic hardship. The data reveals that 40% of black women in the United States have annual household incomes under $50,000. That's compared to 24% of U.S. adults who earn the same figure. It also found that fewer black women have full-time salary jobs and are looking for work at higher rates than the broader population. There are also less career advancement opportunities for black women, less health insurance coverage through an employer, less retirement savings, and less paid sick leave. I'm Mimi Brown, along with Kevin Brown, on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
WVON is proud to welcome Wintrust Financial to the Tuesday 3:30 Focus. Tune in and see why Wintrust is Chicago's bank for personal and commercial customers. They have hundreds of neighborhood locations with one near you, no matter if it's an auto or a mortgage. Wintrust is there for you. Visit Wintrust.com to find a neighborhood location near you. Tune in Tuesday for the Wintrust 3:30 Focus.
Vaughn TV's Thursday Night of Premieres wraps up November 2nd with a throwback must-see film, Still a Brother, Inside the Black Middle Class. This controversial, critically acclaimed documentary examines the Negro middle class of 1968 and how they dealt with indoctrinating into high society while facing the challenges of being black during the civil rights era.
I'd like to have a yacht to wear since from Brooks Brothers. All Americans, and I am an American, we think this way. There's no other way to think. I can't think African. I don't think of myself as being a Negro. Never until recently have I really been concerned that I am a Negro. I thought all the while that I was an American.
See how the black elite lived, worked, and played in 1968 and their mentality on being black and different while the masses of black America were fighting for black and equal. It's a powerful expose on classism that continues to divide the black community today. Don't miss Vaughn TV's premiere of Still a Brother, Inside the Black Middle Class, produced by the late William Greaves. Catch it Thursday, November 2nd at 7 p.m. Vaughn TV is available on Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV Plus, on WVON's app, or any mobile device at Vaughn.tv. That's VON.tv. Thank you for making WVON's Black Heritage Film Series the most watched series ever on Vaughn TV. Powered by McDonald's.
There are trucks, then there's the truck, GMC Sierra, with available features like the V8 engine, the ultimate luxury interior, and of course, the available world's first six-function multi-pro tailgate. GMC Sierra, not just any truck, the truck. GMC's continued commitment to professional-grade engineering is on full display at your local GMC dealer. Come take a test drive today and see for yourself. We are professional-grade. GMC. Well-qualified buyers step up to GMC with 0.9% APR on 2023 Sierra Light Duty models. Plus, no monthly payments until 2024. See your local GMC dealer today. Length of contract limited. Deferred monthly payments for 120 days. Excludes residents of Pennsylvania and Maine. Must finance with GM Financial. Down payment required at signing, if applicable. Finance charges accrue from date of financing. Some customers will not qualify. Not available with lease and some other offers. Take new retail delivery by 10/31/23.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis.
Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweat, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Hi there, Chicagoans. As we know, life can throw us curveballs, heat waves, COVID-19, snowstorms, and power outages, so we must be prepared. Visit chicago.gov/prepare and take these steps. Complete an emergency contact card, build your emergency kit, and take immediate actions for the medically vulnerable today. Visit chicago.gov/prepare. Let's prepare together. It's a matter of public health.
WBOM 1450.
Live from Xfinity Studios, celebrating 60 years, it's the icon of American radio, WBOM Berwyn, Chicago.
It's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBOM.
Days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop.
I've been to the mountaintop. Well, Dr. T, when you said I've been to the mountaintop, I might not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. He wasn't talking about pie in the sky. He believed in his heart because he loved black folks so much that there's no way that we've opened up the doors for black folks that they would not come back and rebuild our community. He believed that with all his heart. It is 7 o'clock wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world. I even have Dr. Hillman. I know I got to take a deep breath. Dr. Hillman, take a deep breath. Your heart and your mind is one. He know that one. And if you think your mind think it, you got it. We're going to take a deep breath and do Trinity, y'all. Come on, you ready? We'll do the black, black. Come on here, Brianna. Black, 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 black. Well, I see my audience. That's what they said to me, Dr. Two more time, y'all, for the Trinity, right? Black, 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 black. One more time. Black, black, black. Is that black enough for you?
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation.
I tell you, that's what Dr. Hill been talking about all day. Your own Emancipation Proclamation, that's what he did. That's why he is who he is. Come on, tell him, Dr. Hill. You got to sign it.
Don't let anybody take your man.
This is what I'm talking about. This is stuff we have to tell our children. That's why I play it every week.
Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of.
Nothing at all. And that's what Dr. Hill was talking about today.
Somebody told a lie.
That's right, y'all.
They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading.
Come on, tell them, Doctor. Tell them, Doctor.
Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ah,
please. Tell them, Doctor.
But I want to get the language right.
Get the language right. That's why we got Dr. Hill here today. We're going to get it right.
I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and I'm beautiful. That's what the children need to hear. Those are the speeches. We are back, y'all. We are back. We are back here at our 7 o'clock hour with Dr. Hill from Northwestern, but he's just so great from the West South. He's just done so much. If you want up at 6:45, you missed it because I gave him 15 minutes earlier. And I'm not going to go over some of the stuff we talked about. I'm letting it continue. And that's what Dr. King was talking about. When we have someone like Dr. Hill who's here, I had to put the pages down, all the things he's done, but always give back, reach back, and to give and to know for which he came. His parents came to Mississippi. But you see he's based. And God, that's why when he put me under, I don't worry because I know he done prayed because he believed in God. But Dr. Hill is an example of what Dr. King was talking about, and that's why I wanted to. You know, I don't bring y'all no mess, and that's why I tell y'all to get your book out because he's going to teach. So what we're going to do, y'all, I'm not going to take a break. I'm going straight through. I want y'all to know that. So I won't be taking a break at 7:30, and I see y'all already calling. I'm going to let Dr. Hill to continue teach and talk to you and whatever he feels the need in terms of where he's at. And then at maybe 10 or quarter to 8, I'll take some calls, okay? We're back, Dr. Hill. Welcome back to Call Patina Conversation. Did I tell you that my niece, my brother's daughter, she's a doctor at Ford. Yeah, she's kind of in the middle. She's a good doctor. I know it's my brother probably telling her. You better wait. I know she listens to my program. And in fact, when she's at work, she's listening because she loves her auntie, and I love her too. Her name is Dr. Sanders at the Ford Hospital, one of the best they got. So anyway, I want to get back to Dr. Hill. If you missed some of the stuff, too bad. He did talk about passion. We must have passion. He talked about God. He was born in Providence Hospital. Daniel Williams, who founded Providence Hospital, who was at Northwestern, and now you at Northwestern. But we talked about a lot of other things in terms of Talladega, in terms of what we have to do, and how did he become interested in, Doctor. We're going to come back to, and we ended when he was talking about he was in the service about something that he had invented and how they got him in. We're going to get back to that. I didn't forget about that because I wanted to go back to that. So, Dr. Hill, welcome back to Coffee Dinner Conversation with me. You don't know, I'm so happy to be here with you. I'm so happy. I'm just excited, y'all. I tell y'all, when I see Dr. Hill, I'm the last patient he sees because he know he got to talk. I'm going to be talking all day to his assistant that's come knock on the door. Okay, Dr. Hill. So let's go back to what you was talking about. You said you had invented something that they wanted. What was it?
I actually invented an artificial ligament for the anterior cruciate ligament.
I read that. I told you. I read so much stuff. All the stuff you've done and all the places you spoke. And I did a video. And you're also part of the History Makers. But that now I can understand why she did that. The History Makers piece is really good, but we'll come back to that later. But they don't really understand. I told my daughter the other day, I said, you know, I know Dorothy's listening to understand that Dr. Hill would take the time. He know Dorothy worked with these youth. He'd take the time to come and talk to them. And the last time he came, he brought and showed them how to do arms and all the other stuff. And the little bad boy, he took a little bad boy last year and turned him around, but he gives time back. And how he worked with HBCUs and all the things that he just do. I'm just proud of him. He's humble. He's all the things he is and that he do. He's still humble, you know, because he know his God. I'm going to go back to you, Dr. Hill. Daniel Williams, they lied that he, who not was that who died needing a blood transfusion? Which one of them?
That was Charles Drew.
Charles Drew, I mean. We talked about that one day.
Yes.
And that you said that that wasn't true, what they've been saying about how he died, needing the blood transfusion. You want to explain that to us for a second?
Yeah. You know, Charles Drew was famous because he invented the blood bank, which especially helped people during the war. And not getting into history, but there was actually in the late 1800s after the Civil War, there were actually seven medical schools. Like Lincoln had a medical school. And In 1910, there was a report funded by Rockefeller and Carnegie, and they left us with only two predominantly African-American medical schools, i.e. Meharry and Howard.
Okay.
And so the physicians, mainly in the South, who had to keep learning new techniques and new medical knowledge, they would have every summer medical seminar at Tuskegee.
Now, these are black physicians.
Right.
Okay.
Charles Drew was.
Uh-huh.
He was actually chairman of surgery at Howard.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so most of the prominent black physicians would go to Tuskegee every summer to basically update the black physicians in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was driving there. I don't think he got there. He got in an accident. And the rumor, you know, because he discovered blood bank, was that he wasn't accepted at the White Hospital and he died from lack of blood replacement. But the real truth is that they did recognize who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And because they recognized who he was, they did let him go to the White Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually, they did try to save his life with whatever they could do, and he just had a devastating injury. But because of the scarring of slavery, quite naturally, people always jump to the negative without knowing their facts.
But they give that same those same lies to our children.
Correct.
Because there was other folks in the car with them too who survived, right?
Correct.
Uh-huh. And I know in my son's book, he talks about, I told you, he talks about how Drew did not die because of lack of a blood transfusion by the whites. So I always told y'all to get that book and read it. But so that was very, very important. Now, one thing you said that the black physician would get together and they come and help each other. So you hear again, you're talking about the help and how black folks really, we have the template of what made us make it, we have the template and how do we do it. So they would come together. Last week, they come to Tuskegee. Last week I was telling folks, they're telling our children so much hate that all through our history that we have always had. We work with other people. Other people work with us. It wasn't so much hate. And it's just so much hate now that they're telling our children, you know, don't do this, don't do that. And they really, like you just said, Rockefeller, what he did. I told folks Rosenwald helped with Tuskegee too, Tuskegee and some other stuff. But anyway, let me get back to you. I just wanted to put that out there because I know my audience think they're so smart. They are smart. I have the most intelligent audience. It's fine wine. They get up on Saturday and listen to me. But let me go back to you. Let's go back to some other stuff. I tell you, this is your classroom. Go back. I'm listening to you. But I want to talk about the how many hospitals do we have? How many black medical schools do we have now?
We have four. We have the two historical ones that did survive that 1910 Flexner Report, Howard and Meharry.
Meharry is where my niece graduated from. Uh-huh.
And there's Morehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And then out in Los Angeles, there's Charles Drew.
Do many of our students go there now? Are our children may have, how are those medical facilities making it? How are they doing? Is it a lot of people applying or something in those medical facilities?
You actually are touching on a sensitive subject to me is because one of the problems is a pipeline. You can have the pipe, but if you don't have the water to go in the pipe, you come out with your faucet with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those institutions, the class historically, they were, for instance, Howard. Most of the U.S. African-American dentists or physicians were trained at Howard. But now the complexion of all the medical schools have changed. I put it candidly. We had a resident, and it was a white resident, that went to Meharry Medical School before he went to orthopedic. None of the other physicians knew what Meharry was. I knew. And if you go down there, you'd be surprised that the nursing and the medical school doesn't reflect the same complexion as the historical context of the institution and the undergraduate school.
Well, that's what most of our schools, in my opinion. But it's just, so why do you think that our youth are not going to applying for math and to be engineers or to be medical, to go into the biology? Why do you think our youth are not going there? Because it looks like we're declining. And when I go to the hospital, to the doctor, I don't see that many of us. I don't know. Not even at Northwestern.
Correct. And it goes back to what I said before, is we're letting the dominant society define us. And also, as you alluded to, we have to make demands that we need a better educational process to make people be able to get in that pipeline so they can get out of that faucet.
Well, now y'all hearing me. That's what I'm talking about, education and economics. But even that really hurts to know that, because, like, they have some fine nurses and take my temperature, do all the other stuff, take my x-ray. They're nice people. They're really trained well. But I don't see that many of our people when I go. I got to take a long time just to get my blood pressure taken. And those are jobs that we used to do, that we can do, I think we can do. But I have really, medicine is very important. Here how you see in your 20s when you develop. Did you used to play around with a lot of tickling around? What kind of kid was you, Doc? Dr. Hill, come up with something like that. I know you said a little bad boy in Dorothy's classroom was you, but what made you decide to develop something like that?
What made me decide to develop, my interest is really in sports medicine, and I wanted to come up with something to make the athletes get back on the field and be able to perform sooner and better. But it was really just opportunity.
But when you was a little boy, you used to tinkle around with a lot of things, didn't you?
Yes.
That figures, because you're smart, you're brilliant. And so, there's so much brilliancy in our children, but it's not nurtured, and we got to figure out what to do. What role did some of the teachers play when you was growing up in grammar school, and what role did they play along with your family? What role did they play in your yearning to learn?
Well, they play a big role. Like I said, my parents were not super educated. They had a lot of love.
Yeah, but they were educated. They weren't trained.
Right, they weren't trained. They were educated, but they didn't necessarily have all the academic nuances.
Right. Uh-huh.
And the teachers did take a special interest in me. I'm going to say a bizarre story that actually kind of reflects my childhood.
Uh-huh.
Because of my academic acuity, I was a teacher's pet. So uh-huh. she had her desk right next to my – I had a desk right next to the teacher.
Uh-huh.
And one day, because I won't name the school, but it uh-huh. was a public school, grammar school, mm-hmm. that there had been some guns and students there. So the police came in one day and looked in everybody's desk. And a member of a major gang on the west side that starts with a V.
When I came with Dr. King, I worked with the Vice Lord.
Right.
Did you go to school right there on Homer?
I went to Bigler.
Yeah, okay. Right. But I worked with the Vice Lords, yeah. and I worked with all the gangbangers. And all of them, when you get through, I tell you that story about all the gangs that Dr. King put them together.
But anyway, the son had been in the Audie home several times,
uh-huh.
and he had the gun. So he put the gun in my desk.
Oh, God.
And, of course, the teacher was standing there, and she said, don't worry about him. And so they didn't even look at my desk. Now, the God sent blessing from that is that his father found out about it. Mm-hmm. They would have taken him back.
Yeah.
And one day this huge group came to my house. My dad was about was scared. Uh-huh. He knocked on the door. The uh-huh. father knocked on the door.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I know what your son did for, and you don't have to worry.
They protected you.
I never had to worry about being recruited or intimidated.
You
by
see, I got it.
And that's what I said.
Yeah, you're right.
But I did not anything on my agenda other than being scared to say anything.
And, you know, there's something special about we got a lot of special children. I noticed. You always ask me how Dorothy doing, how this and that. There's a lot of children you always, now I see why you take such interest. And because it's really something to be special, to be like our children are special, but to be where you were thinking about tinkering around with stuff. But your mother encouraged you to tinkle around, didn't she?
Yes.
They used to let us do what you would, not stop that boy, they let you tinkle. I noticed you said sports medicine. I looked through all the stuff that you did, all the video. I got so much. I got 50, this is half I brought with me, and I was going to talk about all this, but I'm not going to leave it alone now because I'm enjoying the way it's going. So go on, Dr. Hill, if you got some more that you might want to partake with us, because at a quarter, in about 15 minutes, I'm going to start taking calls, y'all. Y'all get on the phone, y'all get ready. Go on.
Well, I mean, you just alluded to being special. I disagree. I think everybody's special.
Yes, they are.
Don't know what they don't know where to tap into what God has already given them.
You're absolutely right.
Everybody's
special.
Everybody has a gift.
Right.
Everybody's special.
That's right.
And how much of your potential you realize is really on you. That's where we don't have control, but we have choices. And if your choice is to, God's given you this, whether you use it or not, it's kind of up to you.
Okay. Now, what about some of these kids that are just messed up, don't even know it. They got parents, or they don't know they're getting messed up. You have parents you had at school, but they in these schools that they do not, nobody nurture their gifts that God has given them. They tell them they're mediocre. They're just a victim. You can't learn. We got to downplay. What about that?
Well, that, once again, it goes back to something I said earlier about not letting the mirror define you.
Uh-huh.
And mm-hmm. your support system or family doesn't have to be biological.
That's right. That's good. Let's deal with that. Because I'm sick of folks saying these children not making it because. But it's go on. I want you to talk about that.
Well, my point is biological. And there's always unintended consequences. And you don't know where your blessing is going to come from.
Right.
I could tell you the reason I'm an orthopedic surgeon was because a white Irish guy mm-hmm. asked me about a book I read, and I had read the book more than he had, and I knew I had a little bit more insightful.
Uh-huh.
And he paid for me to take my whole family to go to California and do a fellowship. He helped me about the down payment on my house.
Mm-hmm.
And he just did it all.
No, I'm glad you said that.
And it didn't matter. I mean, he had a certain affinity.
There's content of character there.
Right.
It's not color.
Right.
That's what I've been trying to tell people on my radio, that they're destroying our youth by telling them that all whites are white supremacists, this and that, don't work with white folks. That doesn't make any sense. You work like you just let God lead you. Because throughout our history, since we've been here as a people, it been God, even if you go back to Frederick Douglass or Harriet Tubman, it was God and there's Abraham Lincoln, going down to the rest of all of these people. We always had folks. These schools wasn't there because black folks, some of them, I think the Black Baptist Shaw was built by Black Baptists, I think, wasn't it? But other than that, it was always somebody who helped them deal and to go and to grow. But something, we got a group that's teaching our children, don't look over there. That's where you go by. Don't let nobody else define you or define what we should be doing. Let God lead you. I think that's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
God will provide, but He'll give you the door, but you got to open it.
You know, I'm a living witness to that. I tell you, I really am. And you are, and oh my God. See, I tell you, if those who are listening, don't worry, I'm going to get y'all at 7:45. So just hang on in there. I see y'all waking up calm. But, you know, that's why I love Dr. Hill. Most folks, y'all don't know this man. And we do have a lot of Dr. Hills out there, and I try to bring folks to y'all who really have made it, who are doing something, as Dr. King said, to get to that promised land, to give back. But right now, we have more economics. We've lost a lot of land. A lot of folks who made it because of that movement have not come back. We have the template. Marvin Collins told me, Dr. Hill, I was an inspiration to her opening that school. She was a friend of mine. Because when the Mollison parents fought continuous progress, she was in the school and she knew what a mess it was. And we went to court with it too. We fought it. That's when she decided she was out of there. And she went and opened a school. Marvin Collins did that. And we have a lot of retired teachers and all kind of doctors, all kind of people in these churches just not doing anything. And if we can just, because if we had some kind of tutoring program going on at our church, people like Dr. Hill and others would be more than happy to come in and to do something. We have got to somehow do what your parents' generation, because I'm almost part of your parents' generation, almost, just a few years back. But and my parents, how I tried to, you got to give, we gotta give a foundation. And if we see that other folks are defining and our children are reading, we have got to figure out a way. We got churches, we got fraternities, sororities, but they was built for anyway to help. All the stuff, we have a template to do it. So when I look at a lot of these other people who come to this country, they have a lot of organization, and I'm not knocking them for having it, that helps and they're doing things. That's almost like out of our playbook. That's what we did. I don't think we're doing it enough. And there's money available that people now are getting, and they think they're getting rich because of they on their own, not because somebody on somebody's shoulder. How do we do that? What do we do with this template, Dr. Hill? What kind of template do you see that we had as a people to make us grow, and how can we do?
Well, the template was that we supported each other, and there's an African term. It's called Ubuntu.
Mm-hmm.
That means I am because we are.
Ubuntu.
And the we was more important than the I.
Right.
Whereas now, once people cross that line and quote-unquote I made it, then it's I and it's your problem because you didn't cross the line, rather than reaching back and helping that person cross the line.
Yeah, each one. So that's why when you hear somebody be saying, when you're talking to them, do it turn you off and they say I all day?
Yeah.
After they say I three times, Dr. Hill, I don't hear them no more. Because, mm-hmm. You know, it's always a we if it's just you and God.
Right.
But most folks get an attitude about I and I did this, I, because it's never I.
It's never I and never us, it's we.
We. I like that, Dr. Hill. Now, you got something else you would like to teach us on this morning? I see you got them papers. Act like you're in class. I was telling you, I told Dr. Hill one day I came and I said, you know, my grandmother told me you got to be able to think your way out of a paper bag. That was her way of critical thinking, because they're not doing critical thinking with our children anymore. And I think you just came from your class. You said you had left a box with them to figure out how to get out of that box. That's almost what Medea say about a paper bag. But there's no critical thinking. They're not doing our children critical thinking. So how do we get back to that, Dr. Hill?
I think how we get back to it is not depend on them, is be role models and be witnesses that kids can see that we use critical thinking, that maybe if my mom, my dad, my uncle, that maybe that's what I ought to think rather than depending upon a governmental supported school system who actually's purpose is to not, for you not to succeed.
I like that. That's true. I tell y'all, critical thinking, it's so funny. I tell Maria, Maria, all you gotta do is take the bag off your head. She said, right, but you didn't think about it. You know, but I was one of those children who always had something to say. I was always big mouth. I always had something to say. Well, I was never satisfied with the answer that you gave me. And I always, I often tell a story. I think I told you the story about when Maria took me to Dr. King's speech. And I, later on in life, asked her, why me? And that went all the way back to when I was a little girl who I always wanted to sit in the front of the bus. But she knew that was important for me to go. But take that bag off your head, that critical thinking. It's lighting up. I'm going to have to take some calls in a minute. I'm going to have to. I want to do two more minutes with you. But how do we, as a community, because I'm trying to get the community, these churches that be locked through the week, open on Sunday, come give out some bread and some water, do some social worker stuff, you know, to the people out there that are needing it. How do we do it before they need it? How do we take, the church got these big old empty behind buildings. They probably going to take some illegal immigrants in them in a few minutes and get that money rather than trying to. How do we do this? We got to. God is going to. We're going to have to answer to God if we don't save these children, I'm telling you. So how do we do this? It's doable, isn't it?
It's doable, but there's a new paradigm.
What is it?
The new paradigm is technology is an example of how things have changed, and there's a disconnect. The people who go to church are usually people that are very mature and grew up in the church, but there are very few young people because that's not the media, and they're used to doing this listening in that format. So what we need to do first is go to the stakeholders that we want that's going to be our future and ask them what do they need to come into the building.
Okay.
And you don't
that's what I think
you don't give somebody
China.
Just a fish.
Right.
You teach them how to fish.
Right.
But you got to ask them how they want to fish.
Don't just be satisfied with the collection on Sunday. You give them that now.
Right.
That's one of the things Pastor Hunt is trying to do now. We're trying to figure out. We got a sneaker ball coming up. Well, I got to go to the phone because it's, oh, my God. But I got to go. I'm going to come back to, I'm going to go over take these calls now. Anything else you want to say? I'm going to take the call.
No, go ahead.
The way we're going to do it, y'all, you're not to make, we only got 15 minutes. My board is lit up. You cannot make a long, long statement. Ask your question, and we're going to take three questions before you answer. That's how I have to enter this board. Okay. Duchess, you've been waiting since 6:45. How you doing?
Hi, this is Duchess. Doctor, I wanted to ask a question about my 18-year-old daughter who's at one of the top 15 schools to be a doctor over in St. Louis. I asked her to go to City College and take up nursing first before she do it so she can have free tuition. But she said she wanted to go straight there because she was accepted at Harvard, but she's in St. Louis. I want to ask you a question. I would like to start a program for nurses, young nurses and doctors. I need to find someone that would be interested in helping me out with that because my granddaughter, she did her studies at Lurie at high school at 16.
You got to help them wrap it up.
Okay, so I just need to know, do you have any choices or information that I can get to help start a program for our youth in the nursing and doctoral field?
Okay. Are you a doctor? Are you in medicine, Duchess?
Oh, no, my daughter's in school to be a doctor, but I want to work with young people to become doctors and nurses.
Okay, all right. That's that church thing almost. Let's see. Who is this? Maddie, M-A-T-T-I-E, okay.
Yes. I had to ask Dr. I think this is Dr. James Hill at Northwestern, right?
That's right.
Okay, good. He worked on my husband. He's excellent.
I want to ask
him, who's a good primary black primary care doctor at Northwestern? I need a good primary care doctor at Northwestern. I tried Dr. Kimber Bell, but she's not taking any more new patients.
Okay,
you suggest someone?
Okay, now he's going to answer later. I don't know. Okay, we're going to see. He is a good doctor. I can testify to that. I'm walking. Not only is a good doctor, he's a good person. He's a good human being. Brother Weatherspoon, quick now with your question. Reverend Weatherspoon.
God bless you. How you doing?
All right.
I'm enjoying your guest.
Thank you.
Just bring back to motivate these young people. They can be anything they want to be. It's up to them. We got to push them. They can be lawyer, doctor, anything they want to be.
Okay. Thank you, Reverend Weatherspoon. Thank you so much. Okay. And all the people in the nursing home listening with him. You can ask those three. And I'm going to try to take some more. That's how I'm going to dump it because it's getting full. I got 15 minutes.
Okay. The first question had to do with how to come up with a program to get people involved in health care, especially nursing. And it's interesting that historically the city college system in Chicago has had a very extensive program. They used to be out at Olive Harvey and other places, and now they've kind of focused on just Malcolm X being the main place in the city colleges.
Is it one more Malcolm X and the one out in the suburb? Which one in the Lewis?
There's another place. Lewis has one, but the city colleges is primarily Malcolm X
uh-huh.
over there at the medical district, the University of Illinois Medical District.
Mm-hmm.
It might take some work and some effort, but there's a few of my patients are ex-teachers in the city college and the nursing program and everything else, and they really are kind of looking for opportunities.
They're
retired now, but they're looking for opportunities to see if they could reach back and get other people involved. So I guess my suggestion to the first question would be to maybe see if they can contact some of the alumni and teachers at Malcolm X would probably be the way to go, but they've taught all over the city colleges.
Okay.
And see if they can help them come up with a program.
Great answer. Okay.
As far as the second question, which was a primary care physician at Northwestern, as Dorothy alluded to, things haven't really changed much. There's been a lot of talk and actually some effort and good intention, so I don't want to make it sound negative, but it goes back to that pipeline situation I talked about, because even if they put out a shingle and say come right now, there's not that many available. Matter of fact, they call black physicians unicorns because there's not that many black physicians.
Okay.
And so you can't blame the institution if there's nobody in the pipeline that's
qualified. I agree.
Qualified.
You cannot blame them. I blame the school system. Go on.
But anyway, there is a couple. The one that comes to my mind is Sanchez Collins, who's a African-American primary care physician. And that's probably the one I would recommend. And off the top of my head, for the audience, Dr. Thomas Pitts, who's a superb physician. He just retired. So actually, the numbers at Northwestern specifically, which I know has gone down. So
and that's all over this country.
There's not a lot of choices.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Hill. That's the three, right? Weatherspoon just gave you encouragement.
Yeah.
He's one of the brothers at the nursing home. He got them listening. He's a minister. I'm going to okay now, Cliff. Question. Okay now. Mama D, question.
Hallelujah. Greetings. You mentioned identity, gifts, and passion. The Creator named us. The slave creator renamed us. My question, since identity, your name is your first sign of ownership, and everybody has
Do you have a question? We don't need no lecture today. We need a question.
Considering that, do you think that Indigenous, Native American, African is a racial classification category that we should have because it names the country that chattel slaves built.
All right. Thank you, Mama D. See, he don't have to if he want to, Ken. I love Mama D. Mama D, I love you. I'm going to tell him to listen to you on Saturday when you call and give you. Okay, let's see. I just want, my board is lit up. I got a few more lines, y'all. I've emptied out. Y'all can call 773-591-6090 if you want to call. Okay. Cliff.
Thanks for taking my call.
Question?
The question is your thoughts on what's happening in Palestine, in Israel.
Okay, Cliff, you've been doing it to me every week. We're going to stay on where we at. I want to stay on this side of the border because what I want to do is see about what's happening to doctors and nurses and children's mind. You've been doing this to me. I'm not in that. I'm trying. I have my personal thoughts, and I'm not going to have Dr. Healy answer that because we're talking about children right now. You do that all the time to me. I'm praying for you now. You ain't got to answer that. Princess.
Good morning.
Good morning, Princess.
Yes, good morning to everyone, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, sir, for your service to your guest, Ms. Tillman. Also, I wanted to say to you.
His name is Dr. Hill, Dr. James Hill.
Yeah, I said thank him for his service.
I heard you. I know. I'll just give,
Yes, also I wanted to inform you all, if I'm not mistaken, there is a nursing African-American school down in Mississippi, and sisters ain't playing. They all go into
What's the name
school.
Of it? Give us a name.
I don't have that right off the top of my head. I had that in my paperwork like 5 months ago, but I'm not looking at my document.
Okay, I'm going to look for it.
But you can just Google it. Google black nurse.
I'm going to look for it.
College or school in Mississippi. It should come up.
I'm going to look for it, and I'll tell you about it next week. Okay?
Okay, God bless you all.
God bless you. Thank you for the information. Cassandra, some don't deserve it. Some of you don't have to ask the question. Cassandra, the ones that have the question, you can ask it like this.
Hi, good morning. I don't have a question. I just want to say good morning to the best doctor there is. We love him. He knows us. That's for I'm saying good morning for myself and my dad, Robert Curry. He is our favorite doctor, and I am
no, you
so
can't take him away from me because he's mad.
To hear him this morning.
He's my favorite doctor too, Cassandra.
And he keeps us walking with these bad knees. I love you. Dr. Hill, and hopefully, I don't want to have to see you too soon, but thank you for all you do, you have done for my dad and for myself, and just continue being the light that you are. We are encouraged, and hopefully there's some young people who will come behind you who will take your spirit on and carry on the work that you do.
Thanks,
and we love you.
We're going to work on that too, Cassandra. You have to call me when he ain't on one out there. We're going to do something. Thank you. Okay. Cyrus.
Hello. Hey, good morning.
Good morning. I have about a few minutes now, so give me your question.
Yes, ma'am. I'm 27, and I know deep in my heart that I'm supposed to be a entrepreneur, and I just wanted to know if you guys had any advice for me. Thank you.
Okay, we'll deal with that when we have our entrepreneur show. We'll be talking about something else today, but I promise you we'll have it another time. You don't have to answer that. Mike, go on once, twice, turn your radio down, then I'm going to turn you off. Hello, Mike.
Okay. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I got quick two questions. One, are you accepting any more patients or primary patient, being a primary doctor?
I ain't no primary doctor. He's a surgeon.
Back to what he stated about passion, dream, and happiness. I see that that's related to what he was talking about, the sense of community, and I want to know from him what is his statement, because I've seen this on...
Hurry up, I'm about to cut you off, because you're doing more than a question. See, you're doing me wrong, Mike.
What is his statement about developing that sense of community and putting it in each one of the people?
Thank you.
I believe a community center would be
that. Thank you, Mike. I got my board is lit up, and I got 4 minutes. Y'all got 10 seconds to ask your question. Did you have three?
No.
How many is that? Because some of you ain't got an answer.
Well,
is it three? If not, I'm going to go to another one. Is it three?
No, not three.
Okay, let me go to another one. Because I'm telling you, you have to keep your focus on. We got to stay focused. That's why our children are not focused. Frank.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Simmons. Thank you. Good morning, sir. Sir, real quick, in your life experience also including, do you think in regards to the motivating factor in the education of our children, especially our young lads, that a breakdown of our family unit has a negative effect on them being motivated? Thank you very much.
Okay, Frank. You got three. Can I take another one? Yeah, you can. Okay, because I want to try to get through as much as I can. Y'all, okay, Deborah. Okay, let's see. Deborah?
Hello?
Yes, you got 30 seconds now. We're running late.
Okay. I wanted to just tell you about some programs that are doing the things that you were talking about.
Okay.
There's a church on the west side. They have a school called Hope Excel Academy, and they are actually working in the community. They're open every day, 7 days a week, doing the work.
Okay.
You know?
Deborah.
Yes.
I think that's good. And what I want you to do, I want to talk to you. We're going to talk about what people are going to name those folks who are doing stuff. And I'm glad to know that, because I didn't know that. But I want to just take a couple of questions right now, because I got four.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, but I'm on.
How can I reach you?
Me?
Yes.
D-O-N. They got okay. Minister Plump, I'm going to give you 10 seconds. Well, come on, you don't be on, because you're going to miss your time. You got 2 seconds, Minister Plump.
Well, yeah, shalom. Good morning,
2 seconds.
Dr.
Okay.
Hill. Yes, do you think that we can use music as a part of our healing to help save our children?
Gotcha. Thank you.
In our culture and promoting unity in the community.
Thank you so much. Henry, I'm trying to empty the board. Henry.
Dr. Hill, I'd like to know what could be done.
Turn something
to
down. You're too loud. You're too loud. What you want to speak up?
I'm sorry. What can be done to motivate our young people to be drawn to the medical science field the way they are to sports?
Okay, thank you so much. I'm going to get Kenyatta, and you can let him in the next 5 minutes try to answer these. Kenyatta.
Dr. Hill, I'm 74 years old, and my doctor, my ortho at Cook County, said I will have to have a knee replacement. How can I get in touch with you? How can I find you?
He's at Northwestern, you know. He's easy to find. It might be hard to get him.
Oh, thank you.
It might be hard to get him.
he
got all kind of patients all over the world. And
thank
he got
you.
Am I right about Northwestern? Just call
yeah.
Northwestern.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Hill, try to answer some of those questions.
Okay, let me go backwards.
You got five.
I got five minutes. He talked about somebody asked a question about how to motivate the youth to pursue a better education, and I think one of the ways to motivate children is give them hope. I mean, I've volunteered in the public school system, and I could tell you, I stay in the primary school because of it. When they are 12 or 13, their pathway has already been pretty much decided, and an outside influence doesn't make any demonstrable change. At least I don't think I can make a demonstrable change. But we got to do something to give kids hope and to have them envision a future, because the older kids I've came in contact can't even envision a future and don't really think they're going to have a future. So I don't know how we get this hope aspect to occur, but that's what we need to do. One of the questions, and I don't know if I interpreted totally but correctly, but it had to do with music and medicine. And I think music is really a symphony of everybody's life. And I must admit, some of the music I hear is very distasteful and actually brings up negative things. And I think it is, whoever asked that question is correct.
Mr. Plumpy.
I think music, whether it be gospel music, whether it be hip-hop, whether it be classical music.
Inspirational music that we grew up on.
Right, but it's got to be a positive thing.
Right.
And some of the stuff is very negative, and we got to stop portraying that as a lifestyle, because some people follow the music.
That, like the music we've been playing today. Come on, you got a minute. Try to answer them, because 2 minutes or so.
A minute. My last somebody asked about how do you give passion, happiness, and joy. And I think what we have to do is learn everybody. We are a community that's somewhat in the dark, and we got to know how to turn on that light switch. But you can't do it just as an individual. You got to show, and you do it through love.
Mm-hmm. You because God is love.
Right. You do it through love, and you, everybody, if they're love, will have some compassion, happiness, and joy.
Okay. Can you get? Can you squeeze in two more? I got to go.
Okay.
You got.
Well, and
some of the most crucial ones.
Well, somebody asked earlier about being a primary care physician. I'm actually an orthopedic surgeon, but I'll be glad to. As somebody asked earlier, I'll be glad to make a connection if you give me my office a call at Northwestern.
Okay, can you get one more? We can get the music down softly, please. Do you mean softly? Go out. Go on.
Well,
you got another one up there?
I don't have another question, but if you ask me another comment,
I want you to just round it up.
My comment is
you're rounding it up, right?
Right. I'm rounding up, and my last comment would be is that. Altitude plus, I mean, attitude plus aptitude equals altitude.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is if you have the right attitude and you pursue something to get the aptitude, that you'll just elevate. You'll develop attitude.
I want to thank you, Dr. Hill. I have to have you back. Because I had to just set down my phone and keep folks from calling back. We're going to have you back. We thank you. You see, everybody listens to my show, but we got to have you back. Thank you so much. And I like what you brought, and it was so much more we had to cover. That's why I'm going to try to bring you back next month or December or something, because we had so much to cover. I thank you so much for being here and the inspiration that you give and the way you reach out. You're one of those people that do give back, and you're a spiritual base. Thank God for you. And I must say that we got to have you back. Dorothy Wright Tillman, coffee, tea, and a conversation with me right here at WVON every Saturday from 6 to 8. See y'all next week. We got to tell our children, young, gifted, and black. Bring it up a little bit.
Open your heart.
10 seconds in the preparation. Yeah, this is what we tell our children. Yeah.
Cause you know.
You love, okay.
In this whole wide world.
Until next week. Dorothy Wright Tillman said we gotta tell our children young. They're gifted. And they're like, love somebody because God is love. Until next week, reparations now.
But somehow my soul remains.